I think our question of the day should be, how cold is it? What do you think, Kev? It's so cold, Democrats have their hands in their own pockets, right, for once, rather than
yeah,
ours.
Body parts are falling off of Maxine Waters. Colder than a witch's you-know-what.
Oh, we have a little Maxine Waters humor for you today. She's having another meltdown.
Are they going to shoot us?
Every day's a freakout for Maxine Waters. I love it. I feel so sad for her. Yeah, isn't it awful? Oh, my gosh. We're winning. We're winning. We're winning. How about President Trump welcoming home a Russian prisoner last night? His family is ecstatic, as you'd bet. And by the way, it's another example. 3 weeks in, that President Trump, promises made, promises kept. Because he told the family, look, if I'm president, he will be coming home. And he is home. So that's pretty cool. A couple of things happening. I think the epic event of yesterday was Donald Trump in the Oval Office with Elon Musk. Trump was seated at his desk, and off his shoulder was Elon Musk standing with a Make America Great hat again, his son X on his shoulders. And the most patient young man I've ever seen in my life, because he was, other than putting his fingers in his dad's ear a couple of times and messing up his hair.
That's hilarious.
And whatnot. He was pretty darn good. And meanwhile, the media asked the stupidest questions you could ever imagine about what Elon Musk is doing. And he just knocked them down like, you know, a feather. Just one bowling pin after another. Boom, 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 boom. Bring another. Keep them coming. We have some highlights from that for you in case you missed any of that yesterday.
They were out of questions.
They really were.
He answered every question.
They lasted longer than they could ask questions.
Well, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, why do you even consider these people worthy of asking stupid question after stupid question? You know, I honestly do. I'm like, forget these people. This is regime media people who get up every day doing whatever they can do with their platform, their microphone, their news organization, whatever, to destroy Donald Trump, to defy the American people in their vote overwhelmingly for him. That's their MO. That's what they want to do. So I love it, honestly, as someone that follows this, to see it, you know, how dumb they look and play out. But really, I wouldn't give them the time of day. I'd give them, you know, 2-3 minutes, fine, you know, goodbye. You got your questions answered. That's great. And I'm sure it was a little bit impromptu. I mean, literally, the media has been in the Oval Office asking questions of President Trump more in 3 weeks than they did in the entire time during the Biden administration. Joe Biden didn't hold press conferences, let alone sit at his desk and answer questions from the media. Trump's done it more in 3 weeks than he did in a whole four-year term.
Not only answer questions from the media, answer questions from the media until you say, does anybody have any more questions? And they don't. Okay, well, I guess we're done.
Yeah, it's great. You're exactly right. I mean, finally, like, okay, well, thank you very much. You've asked all your questions. You don't have any more. It's getting silent. We've mowed you down, so let's move on. That was a beautiful display of just how things have changed radically in 3 weeks. And I don't know about you, but I love every minute of it. I get up every day thinking, okay, how do we break down what happened yesterday for the audience? How do we put this into, first of all, I think we'll all feel like we're drinking from a fire hose because there's so much every day on so many fronts. You got to just say, okay, what am I going to focus on, and then drill down a little bit on it. And that's what we try to do for you here on the program. But you're far smarter than us in the audience. So if there's things you see that we don't see or things you thought was a highlight, lay it on us. That's why we open up our phone lines for the entire What's On Your Mind program, as well as welcome your text on the program. So let's have this conversation together and keep up together on everything that's happening. But it feels pretty good. It does. It sort of feels like what it must have felt like with 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter for the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday. You know, that's what it feels like right now. And look, there's a lot to come, a lot to do, all of that. But it's so fun. I don't remember if it was Trump or Musk yesterday. I have the clip, but I just don't remember who said it. I think it was Elon Musk, talking about how members of Congress, whose salary is less than $200,000 a year, can be gazillionaires. Like, I think Elizabeth Warren, you know, Pocahontas, you know who I'm talking about, the senator from Massachusetts,
yep.
Kathy, you're familiar? She's worth like $22 million. Wasn't she like a teacher? Wasn't she like a professor or something? I mean, her job, I think,
oh, the list is ridiculous.
Academia.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so Elon Musk brought that up yesterday. Maybe that's why they're freaking out about Elon and his team of wicked smart experts. You know what I mean? Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe. That's what's going on there. So we'll give you a little preview of the show in a moment. Who's waiting to check?
Jim, checking in from West Fargo. Jim, what's on your mind?
Hey, so this whole thing with Elon and going in there and just at breakneck speed and getting into these departments and everything and exposing, you know, I had a suspicion about why this was going to happen, and I was watching CNBC this morning. They pretty much confirmed it with one of their people. The problem is, and they've tried this in the past, is the bureaucracy puts it down to a crawl, and they make it so difficult to go in and investigate and audit this stuff. That basically they've given up in the past because they just can't get into it. But now they have that technology, and they're just circumventing the bureaucracy and saying, get out of the way. Because those people are intentionally trying to stop them because, you know what, that's their bread and butter there, the bureaucracy, all these funds and everything else. So I'm all for he's doing it exactly the right way. He's got to go in there and move fast, and the critics don't like it. Tough. There's a reason they're criticizing.
Yeah, and you know what else, Jim? Trump said this yesterday related to the court action, like some stupid reporter. Are you going to abide by the court's ruling? And Trump's like, of course I am, while I appeal it. But in the meantime, how could these judges be against this, number one? Number two, you know what it does? Again, this is all by design. Elon Musk turning loose on day one was by design because they'll cover everything up. And that's what Trump said.
Oh,
look, you give the court delays give them more time to hide the football.
Oh, absolutely. The bureaucracy is an animal in itself. I mean, the government workers have their own union. The government basically has its own union. You didn't know that, right? And and just one final thought too. All these people that are against Musk, think, well, Musk, he wasn't elected. You have to remember this: he serves at the pleasure of the president. The president can appoint anyone he wants to work for him. And that's what he does. He doesn't have to be elected. He serves at the president's pleasure.
Well, plus, let's think about this a sec, Jim. Prior to Donald Trump taking office for the second term here, let's look at the Biden administration. How many unelected bureaucrats ran your life? How many touches were there by people that had zero time on a ballot anywhere? All of a sudden now? It's an issue like, John Podesta is one example. He was Clinton's chief of staff, and he was, the green czar. Or John Kerry running around giving away our money in zillions and undoing deals that made us less safe. Nobody elected John Kerry to be in the Biden administration or John Podesta. They were czars tasked with something. These people have a double standard. It's disgusting. And you ought not pay one attention to anything they write, say, do. They're fraud. They're 100% fake news fraudsters.
They're all after the money. This is how they get from, this is how the head of the U.S. AIDS goes from $180,000, a 6.1 net worth up to $30 million in 7 years off a $180,000 a year salary. How does that work?
You couldn't be more right. Appreciate the call, Jim. Thanks. And thanks for sharing what you heard on CNBC, too. Welcome that from anybody today. You can call us at 701-271-1100. You can text us at 701-237-1590. We are only a few hours from the official kickoff at midnight of Giving Hearts Day, ladies and gentlemen. And tomorrow we'll be coming to you live from the Giving Hearts Day headquarters. Today we're going to chat with another of our champion charities. This one will be the good folks from Rebuilding Together, Fargo-Moorhead. How about that? So looking forward to it's the last day of early giving today, so you can get in on the fun at givingheartsday.org. We'll check in a little bit about Rebuilding Together, Fargo-Moorhead. Craig Hedlund is going to join us. He is a Republican chair of the House Finance and Tax Committee in the state legislature. That committee has passed out a property tax reform bill and an income tax reduction bill. And there's some caps in there on local spending. We're going to talk a little bit about the caps. They did provide some more flexibility for your school, your city, your county. We'll talk about that with Craig. Also today on the program, we're going to chat with the folks from Dakota Hope Clinic. They do some marvelous, life-changing work on the pro-life front. Tell you about them, another one of the Giving Hearts Day charities. And then we're going to spend some time today on the program talking about rural health care, things that you and I take it, you know, for granted in Fargo, in, you know, Grand Forks, Bismarck, Minot. And rural health care is a challenge. There's some places they're doing it really, really good. Our Window on Watford segment today has Pete Edis joining us from McKenzie Health, doing some amazing things in western North Dakota. So we'll tell you about that. And certainly the same could be said for other communities that are really looking to up their game. I know our buddy Jim Offerdahl, the mayor of Fauston, has been working hard on this front and doing battle with Essentia to get better health care in Fauston. This is tough stuff in the rural areas. We'll tackle that more coming up on What's On Your Mind. And a complete recap of yesterday's big day. Don't touch that dial. More What's On Your Mind live from Williston Auto today in Williston, North Dakota on What's On Your Mind. Back on What's On Your Mind, brought to you today by Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. You interested in land? Need a prime piece of land for some development? My friends at Chose Investments ought to be your first call. KJOSinvestments.com. Got some great commercial real estate to move into, too, right now. It's about a 19,000 square foot facility, the old Dakota Medical Foundation, where Giving Hearts Day was held for many, many years, as a matter of fact, is now available because they've moved into a new location, the old Discovery Benefits WEX building, where tomorrow's Giving Hearts Day will be held. So they have commercial real estate, warehouse space, looking at developments. They are the developer of our Flag Family headquarters along I-29, south of Border States, just north of Thunder Road, along I-29. So it gives you an example of the good work they could do for you, too. At Chose Investments, KJOSinvestments.com. So tomorrow is the 18th Giving Hearts Day, and it's going to go from 24 hours, from midnight tonight until the following midnight, and early giving ends today. So your last chance today to take a look at some 625 charities participating. 50 of those are new. And the goal this year is to inspire at least 75,000 giving hearts to support a charity. And it's not just about your hard-earned bucks, but if you have some to spare and you see a good cause there, that'd be great. You can also donate food or goods. You'll see the locations everywhere to do that. And you can pledge to volunteer for a charity. In fact, last year, 40,851 donors gave more than 87,849 gifts, totaling $29.2 million. Think about that. $195 million given since this started way back in 2008. It's the longest-running 24-hour giving event in the United States of America and one of the largest in the country. So pretty exciting. We will be broadcasting live tomorrow. We're going to be chatting with Dan Carey of the Alex Stern Foundation, and Pat Trainer, who's the president and CEO of DMF. Those two form something called the Impact Foundation, where they train charities and train the boards and say, how do you do the most good with the dollars you get? And how do you fundraise? And really, we're the masterminds of the original Giving Hearts Day back in 2008. So we'll hear a little bit of the story. Doug Burgum is going to join us tomorrow. We scheduled our interview from last week, I believe that was, that we had him scheduled. He'll be on, of course, his first interview with North Dakota Media, Secretary of Interior, so we're excited about that. He'll join us on the program tomorrow, part of our Giving Hearts Day broadcast, and we're going to meet some of our champion charities as well. So it'll be great fun. Looking forward to it. We will be on the main stage from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. with all our shows, broadcasting live from Giving Hearts Day, so come on by, take in the fun, and join it all. Want to chat right now with another one of our champion charities. We're joined today on the program by Cassie Skaliski. Cassie is actually the development director with Rebuilding Together Fargo-Moorhead. And you'll find them, Rebuilding Together, at givingheartsday.org if you want to include them in your early giving. Cassie, thanks for joining us. How are you today?
I am great. I'm super excited. I'm pumped up and ready for Giving Hearts Day. We've got fun things planned, and we're ready to, get this ball rolling and help all the people in the community that we can with the dollars that we raise. It's fantastic. Really exciting.
It is exciting. It's a lot of fun for, again, 625 charities, all their supporters and everyone else. I also enjoy every year a chance to learn about charities that I had no idea that were doing good work. And Rebuilding Together Fargo-Moorhead is one of those. I know very little about it. So bring me back to the beginning. Mm-hmm. What's your mission?
All right. So we're really basic. What we do, we go into homes. We help homeowners with basic need. When somebody's needs are changing in their homes and they have new disabilities or changing abilities, we help them with grab bars, widening doors, things like that. We also help with major things like maybe they have foundation problems or window problems or roofing problems. And so we're doing modifications and we're doing home repairs for people in need.
Pretty amazing. Now, give me a sense, first of all, of the need. That sounds like a really neat thing and can be an overwhelming thing for people that are going through with it. what kind of need is there out there for this kind of help?
Absolutely. So, you know, there's a lot of people in our community who don't know that we exist, but we have so many people on our waiting list because when neighbors find out or, you know, they find out that their neighbor had help and, you know, it's really a word of mouth thing. We have over 55 homes on our list right now. And we find that the older neighborhoods in town, you know, in Fargo, in Wahpeton, in West Fargo, in Moorhead, because we're throughout our region, you know, there's homes that we don't even know about that need our help. So it's such a widespread need. And the majority of the people that are on our list are senior citizens who are living off of Social Security, who've lived in their homes for many, many years. And they want to be able to stay healthy, safe, and independent and not have to go into assisted living or not have to lose their homes and go have to live with a family member. And so we're keeping people out of homelessness. We're keeping homes in the affordable housing market for years to come. And we're, you know, we're keeping people healthy. So,
yeah, the ripple effect of that is pretty amazing. I would imagine,
yes.
And you do this with volunteers and contractors, right? So in addition
yes.
to folks donating to help this cause, which, by the way, they're helping folks in Cass, Trail, or Richland counties in North Dakota, Clay County in Minnesota. What else do you
yep.
need besides dollars?
Yes. Well, you know, ask any nonprofit what they need, and dollars is definitely the biggie because with our larger projects, we do hire contractors. And so we have a lot of great partners within the community that we work with. And, you know, that costs money, but we're not going to have volunteers completely rewiring a house unless they're a licensed bonded electrician who is volunteering their time and services, right? But for our smaller projects, like, you know, if you know how to put in a new sink or you know how to, do some sheetrock work or things like that, yes, we have great volunteer opportunities that run generally from late spring to mid-fall. And we do, we work with groups. We've had Amazon put groups together to help us, Wells Fargo, Gate City Bank, you name it. We have great individuals who will come and do volunteer work for us. So if you want to work alone and you know, do some handyman type stuff for us, we've got that for you too. So, you know, we have a little bit of everything. And if you don't have any quote unquote handy person skills, we've got yard work for you to do.
There you go. There
painting
you go.
Trim, raking leaves. We've got it all.
That's beautiful. Again, this is for folks living with disabilities, elderly folks, veterans, anyone that would
yes.
qualify for a lower income. And they're doing
yep.
this work in Cass, Trail, and Richland counties in North Dakota, Clay County, Minnesota, another of our champion charities for Giving Hearts Day, Rebuilding Together, FMA.org,
mm-hmm.
to find out more. Rebuilding Together, FMA.org. But go to givingheartsday.com, look up Rebuilding Together. You can donate right there. Thank you, Cassie.
Thank you so much.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of What's on Your Mind, our window on Williston and Watford edition of the program today. Out here in the beautiful plains, badlands, you get a little bit of everything out here in western North Dakota. Flew into Williston this morning, actually. Flat as a pancake up where the airport is there. And it's funny, you get just a tish south and you start to get into that beautiful rolling badlands and on down to beautiful vistas. It's just wonderful how beautiful our great state is in this whole entire region, that's for sure. And love seeing it from the air. How are you? Welcome to the program. 7 past the hour. Busy one for you today. Countdown to Giving Hearts Day is on. We'll chat with a couple of the champion charities that we are so excited to tell you about, including Farm in the Dell and also the Dakota Hope Clinic out of Minot. And they have some regional clinics throughout western North Dakota. Pro-life champions, they're the best. You know, the great thing about the pro-life movement is they love them both. They love the baby and they love the mom. And they take such good care of both. They really do. And that's really important in the pro-life. I always say it's not enough to be pro-life, right? Just to be pro-life and say, I'm pro-life. But you actually got to get, you know, get in there, roll the sleeves up, go to work and think about the solutions when there are unplanned pregnancies. And, you know, sometimes they're called crisis pregnancies. I always, you know, hate that term because a baby is not a crisis. A baby is a gift from God. And we are unapologetically pro-life on this program, and we love folks that do good work like they do at the Dakota Hope Clinic and so many other pregnancy help centers within the sound of my voice. So we'll chat with them today. Craig Hedlund's going to stop by. He chairs the House Finance and Tax Committee in Bismarck. How much property tax relief are you going to get? How much restraint will there be on spending at your local school, a city, and county? Those questions for Craig. Also, he's been the champion of, hey, we had to zero out the income tax in North Dakota. Zero. Zero. Nada. And join, what, 6 or 7 other states around the country that have it, including our neighbors to the south in South Dakota. He's making some progress. We're not quite to zero for everybody yet, but a good chunk of folks will be at zero. We'll talk to Craig about that. We're also going to talk a little bit about rural health care, something we take for granted in Bismarck, in Fargo, in Grand Forks. You know, even Jamestown, a little bit on the bigger side, or a Minot. Obviously, you got choices, you got options for health care. That's not the case in many places in rural North Dakota. Watford City's a prime example where we spend time often. I mean, prior to the current expansion of McKinsey Health that's happened over the last number of years, you want a baby? You got to go somewhere else. You have any kind of a critical situation, a heart, a stroke, you got to go somewhere else. Well, think about that in the way of quality of life. You know, here's how I think about it. North Dakota is really fueled and powered and funded by rural North Dakota, either agriculture or energy, right? That's how Fargo goes and does its streets and its schools and its bridges and Grand Forks and Bismarck and everything else, right? So we got to take care of them as well. And that is a challenge when it comes to rural health care. So we're going to dig into that today. Pete Edis will join us. He's the president and CEO from McKinsey Health. A great story. Moved here from Colorado. Had a very successful career in health care in Colorado. Was recruited in to Watford City. And he's a great leader. And so we'll walk through some of those challenges on the program today. And we'll give you the latest on Elon Musk. President Trump is winning. We're only three weeks in, and the winning is almost hard to take. There's so much winning, including bringing home a U.S. prisoner who was wrongfully imprisoned in Russia last night. Pretty cool. Promise made, promise kept to his family. So we'll dig into that. The epic event yesterday was Elon Musk. I think he was bowling, Kev. I think what he was doing was actually bowling, and the bowling pins were the dum-dums of the regime media. And he and Donald Trump in the Oval Office were, you know, bowling 300. It was just like, okay, bring the next stupid question. Bring the next stupid question. It was classic stuff.
Well, and it really showed how much the media has gotten used to asking stupid questions to someone that won't answer them. You know, they're like, they haven't read the room. So you realize that that's not going to fly here, right? No, apparently not.
Exactly. Anyway, you want to weigh in on any of this? Call us, 701-271-1100. Text us, 701-237-1590. Remind me also, I need to draw a winner for our Gen Z listeners that texted in yesterday. We have one lucky winner, all the Gen Z listeners that texted in to give us their thumbs up on Trump. And by the way, it was 99-1. It was unbelievable. The Gen Zers are all on board for what Donald Trump is doing. I think that's no small part, you know, some credit due to Elon Musk there as well. I mean, Elon Musk is a revered figure, especially among the Gen Z folks. And his involvement in politics in that last election, I think, made a big difference. And now he's rolling up his sleeves and going to work. And I think that's I'm just surmising that. But I think that's one of the reasons that younger voters are all on board right now. So it's great stuff. How cold is it is the question of the day. And Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist, here to answer that question. Enough already.
Right? You know, Scotty, I was doing some digging, and at least in the FM area, and I'm sure this is ditto for much of the state, that all of last winter, we only had 11 nights below zero. And so far this year, we've had 30 and counting. So this winter, obviously a lot colder than last winter, and we're going to continue on our streak of temperatures in the deep freeze all the way through next week, it looks like. For today, we're looking at partly cloudy skies throughout the state and cold highs statewide between 0 and 5 below. That is it. Temperatures well, well below normal. Not record cold, but boy, it's cold enough, that's for sure. Tonight, we'll see clear to partly cloudy skies, lows across the state between 20 and 30 below. And for Thursday, we're looking at partly cloudy skies, a little warmer out west, teens to mid-20s in the western part of the state, about 5 to 10 in the central and 0 to 5 above in the east. And then Friday, we'll see a little light snow in the eastern part of the state, not much, inch or less, and highs on Friday in the teens and 20s statewide. And then as we head into the weekend, more cold air dumps in from Canada with snow out in the western part of the state on Saturday. So I don't see a break in this pattern, Scott, until late next week. After about the 21st, we go into phase two of the LRC cycle. And what that does, it gives us more of a roller coaster in temperatures up and down. And the reason for that being is the Arctic air will start to retreat north and east. And we'll get a bunch of clipper systems coming in from Canada. Typically, they're weak, but they give us periodic chances for light snow and up and that up and down roller coaster temperature ride. So at least we're not consistently stuck in the deep freeze. We'll see that pattern change, according to the LRC, around or just after the 21st of this month.
What they say, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. So
well,
just
this should make us all Hercules.
Just lean into it, baby.
Man.
And remember, 20 below keeps the riffraff out, so it's why we live where we live.
Good
All
point.
Right, Dino. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Dean Wysocki, our chief meteorologist. So Mark Fogel showed up last night at the White House. He was a U.S. imprisoned, wrongly imprisoned citizen in Russia. And by the way, let me bring you back to a promise Donald Trump made. Here's a clip from CNN where the sister of Mark Fogel, Ann, tells a little story about President Trump and her mother. Listen to this. Something I'm sure they hate hearing on CNN. You know, you could just see the painful look on the CNN host that was done.
Like, oh, yeah.
The man is true to his word. Another example of winning. It's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And the highlight yesterday was Elon Musk in the Oval Office. Listen to this. This is just one of many things they've unearthed. Listen to this. So they've unearthed 150-year-olds still receiving checks from the Treasury for Social Security. This is how inept the federal government is. And, of course, the media continue to ask, yeah, well, what about? This guy's a patriot. He could be building his companies, building new companies, sending rockets to the stratosphere, and he is routing out corruption in our government like sending checks to 150-year-old Social Security recipients who are long dead. It's a beautiful thing. More after this. Unbelievable what is happening. Think about that. What do you say, a three-year contract that turned into, or three-month contract that turned into 4 years or
20
something? 20 years. From a three-month contract.
We've known this. It's finally being proven. Thank God he's there. Thank God for these people. Thank you, Lord, because Lord had something to do with this one.
Texter says, has there been any fraud found? Seems to me Musk has set a precedent with eliminating congressionally appropriated funds that goes against his ideology. So far, the judicial branch has not found any fraud. Dems will be able to use this precedent next time they're in office to do the same by eliminating funding to conservative states which gets most of their funds from high population blue states.
First of all I kinds think he, of fraud.
Yeah, I think he just described fraud. So unfortunately, your Democratic liberal regime colored glasses have you thinking there's nothing to see here. A. B, I don't care if you call it waste. I don't care if you call it fraud. I know, pick your term. Call it whatever you want. If I've got a 3-month contract to get payments and you pay me for 20 years, you're okay with that? I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. Absolutely mind-boggling.
Government is designed, especially in the last number of decades, the federal government has evolved and is designed to never solve anything, never finish anything, never really do anything. It's tic-tac-toe, man. It's a hamster on a wheel. They all look busy. They're all running around doing stuff, but it turns out they're all doing stuff for themselves. And they're hiding and shading and ducking money. And, you know, who knows if there ever was a drag show in Ghana or any of this stuff that they say that they were doing.
I still say, by the way, that came up yesterday. You said it was $50 million for condoms that went to Gaza. They actually went to Ethiopia. I don't care where they went. And by the way, wrap your mind around that. You know, again, I bet there's 10% for the big guys in that $50 million, grift of condoms to wherever, right?
Absolutely.
What you're saying.
That's the whole thing.
It isn't take money out of the treasury, okay, buy from the condom factory, okay, deliver them. Trust me on this. How anybody can, I should say this. If you think this is a bad idea, you're clearly a liberal, okay? You hate Trump. Please keep saying everything you're saying because it will guarantee you a long time in the political desert, right? So just keep reacting like you're reacting. Let's go to Maxine Waters here, Kev, in a second after I tell you about High Road Partners. If you're a small business source or payroll support, friends at High Road Partners, great team, and they help you navigate all those tricky employee conversations. When employment regulations change, they update you. They administer payroll for your team. Customized HR solutions to meet your needs. They're the small business champions. A small business, local, serving your small business. Visit highroadpartners.com to learn more. That's highroadpartners.com. 701-271-1100 is our telephone number. Text us at 701-237-1590. Here's another listener. I am waiting for Elon Musk to start digging into the Unaffordable Care Act and see all the waste there.
Oh, buddy.
Again, what they're doing and how they're doing it is all by design. They're going for the easy wins here, and I think they started at USAID because they knew there was so much corruption.
Yep.
But you've already heard Trump say, hey, Defense Department, you're next. Keep going. This is going to come in every layer of the government.
This is knowing where the bodies are buried. That's the thing coming up. The first thing they knew about is I never heard of USAID. And all of a sudden, wait, what? Oh, my. Yeah, awesome. Want to roll some Maxine? I think we might have lost Scott. Roll that Maxine Waters. All right, if you're eating, put down. We'll give you a second to finish your bite there. Yeah. Elon's taking over the country, Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I noticed that. Please, again, everybody within the sound of my voice that hates Donald Trump, that is a liberal, a lifelong Democrat, whatever, keep criticizing all this stuff, will you please? Please, just
cheer him on. Yes.
Keep doing what Maxine Waters is doing, because, again, the political desert is your future. Complete and total irrelevance on the national stage.
And by the way,
your future.
Every one of these gatherings that they're yelling into microphones about, Iona Presley and Jamie Raskin and old Max there, all of them, these are all completely inorganic. Again, just like the Biden rallies were, just like the Harris rallies were, they're bringing in donors, they're bringing in DNC people. They stand behind them. Most of them behind her look like that's the last place they want to be, but they're told to be there. No one's showing up at any number in any reality saying, yay, Maxine. Nobody. They're being paid to cheer.
Well, it's a great point. It's what you call, what do they call it again? Not
theater.
Grassroots.
It's political theater.
It's astroturfing. It's exactly right. Another listener said, did you mention that DOGE was a department of, my text, Did you mention the Doge was a department that Obama started? If not, fill the haters in on that brilliant move by Trump. Yeah. Doge was not a department that Obama started. It is a brilliant move by Trump. Great point for the regime liberals who love Obama. He was so great. I have a point on that. What's on your mind? We're live in Williston, Otter today in Williston, North Dakota for our Window on Williston and Window on Watford segment. We do that pretty much weekly here on the program and thoroughly enjoy it. Brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA, where the home cooking is on today. Tell you what, weather like this, you want meatloaf. You can find it in Valley City today. How about Swedish meatballs? Think of this. Just piping hot Swedish meatballs on a mound of mashed potatoes and the gravy. So good. 12th and I-29, Harwood location, West Main Avenue, West Fargo. All has the Swedish meatballs today. Salisbury Steak, downtown Fargo and 45th Street, Fargo. Mac and Beef in Castleton. Taco Mac in Wahpeton. Glendon's Tater Tot Hot Dish from Bismarck, Mandan in the West. All the way into Grand Forks, of course, Castleton, Valley City. You've got Moorhead, West Fargo. You got Grand Forks. Did I mention that? East Grand Forks, Bemidji, Wahpeton. They're everywhere. PetroServe USA. So to that texter's point before the break, I don't know what they're talking about when they say Obama started Doge, but there have been different efforts like this over the years. Al Gore, running as the vice presidential running mate of Bill Clinton. Excuse me, no, Al Gore running for president in 2000. He was the sitting vice president, but he's running for president, lays out this grand plan that Democrats, listen close to what Al Gore said needed to happen in the federal government. Roll that clip, Kev.
What?
How about that?
Wait,
yeah.
What?
And Kevin, that was at least 25 years ago, maybe
yep.
longer.
There you
Hasn't
go.
Hasn't happened. And Donald Trump is doing it. Hey, liberals, did Al Gore screw up? Was that awful? Was that horrible? Obama? This is, you can't make it up. Absolutely can't make
not.
It up.
We're not making it up.
No, exactly right. Hey, Giving Hearts Day is tomorrow, and we are counting down to Giving Hearts Day, last day of early giving. Want to check in with another one of those wonderful charities before we get Craig Hedlund in here on the program. Farm in the Dell of the Red River Valley is one of those charities you'll want to remember when you go to givingheartsday.org. And to tell us a little bit about that wonderful organization, we're joined today on the program by Anna Sather, who is the executive director. How are you, Anna?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
We're doing wonderful today. So last chance on the last day of early giving to tell folks about Farm in the Dell of the Red River Valley. What do you do?
So, yes, as you mentioned, we are a nonprofit. We actually have a 25-acre farm just north of Moorhead. Our mission is actually to transform disabilities into abilities, and we do that by providing meaningful work and life experiences in a community farm setting for individuals with developmental disabilities. So they actually come out. We have a group of individuals. They come to us with autism, Down syndrome, a variety of different things that, you know, no amount of boxfuls of produce or hours in the field can fully solve, but we're here to make sure that they receive a regular paycheck. We teach them many life skills, all the skills that it takes to run and operate a garden, and also the soft skills, right, of what it takes to communicate with a supervisor and work on a team and things like that. And also we're a Christian organization out there, so we make sure that they feel lifted up and celebrated and cherished and treated like a child of God, like all of us. So it's a wonderful organization, and I encourage all of you to check out our website and visit us this summer.
Oh, my gosh. What a great idea. That's so wonderful. Have you got a favorite story about the lives that have been transformed out there from that activity and what that does to contribute to the quality of life of those folks with disabilities?
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Where do I even start? There's so many. It is really cool to see the progress of the individuals that work out there. So many of them have been with us for a handful of seasons. Some come for one season and then they move on to more competitive employment. But those that stick around with us, we do see major growth. We see a lot of confidence. And one example in particular is this individual. She's a female. She's been with us now for 2 years. It's really cool because not only has she learned a lot of gardening aspects, but one thing that we do at the beginning of every shift is we gather together as a team and we say a little prayer. And then we divvy out tasks and we break out into teams and things like that. And actually throughout the season, in her first season, she started asking if she could help lead that huddle and help lead us through the prayer. And so to take on that leadership role in that huddle in front of, you know, 20 to 30 people is a really big step. I was so proud of her. And that just really is a good example of seeing the growth of, you know, those soft skills like that I was mentioning earlier.
Arm in the Dell of the Red River Valley. There's volunteer opportunities. They're accepting goods. And, of course, your hard-earned dollars help them do what they do a little bit better. So remember them. Early giving ends today. GivingHeartsDay.org. Farm in the Dell. Find that. It'll pop up for you. Thanks for sharing that story, Anna. It's awesome.
Thanks for having me.
You've 22 before the top of the hour. Newsmaker on our hotline here, Craig Hedlund, chair of the House Finance and Tax Committee. He is... led an effort to bring income taxes in North Dakota to zero. Progress is being made again in this session, plus obviously property taxes, something we're all looking for reductions on. And we have schools and cities and counties that are going to need to be reformed a little bit as to their spending increases year over year. So for an update on all that, Chairman Hedlund joins us. Thanks for taking a few minutes for us today. Craig, how are you?
Well, I'm doing well, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So tell me what the product that you've sent to the Appropriations Committee looks like. What's the House version of the property tax, income tax relief, and reforms?
Well, Scott, we've actually sent down to Appropriations a couple of different versions of how we might accomplish property tax relief and reform to the Appropriations Committee. And, you know, they are going to vet out the dollars and get to the bottom of the funding mechanisms and fund it how it's most appropriate for the state. I think there's three packages we sent down, three different bills. You know, I know that's maybe not what leadership would have liked to have seen, but if you watched the floor debate yesterday, you can see there's a lot of differences in opinion on how we should move forward with this amongst elected legislators. And there's not a lot of consensus surrounding one version of do it over another. There's a lot of differences of opinion. So even on the committee.
So you have, you know, yourself as chair. You have Representative Mike Nathy carrying the bill in the House, and you have the governor, all with different versions of this, but close. What would you like to see happen? What's the number in the way of property tax relief? Who will have zero income taxes in North Dakota if your version passes, and what will the reforms look like?
Well, interestingly enough, yesterday on the House floor, the income tax component in House Bill 1176 was taken out by the Legislative Assembly in the House, and we are talking specifically only about property tax in 1176 now. What 1176 would do would provide up to $1,450 of relief on a parcel of property in a similar fashion as the $500 credit did.
And,
and
I know you...
there's also some reform restricting growth in what property tax levies generate as far as revenue.
Yeah, so walk me through that. I know you had some flexibility that you gave the local subdivisions in the way of those caps. Talk about some of the reaction you've got. I know that some of the bigger cities especially are concerned about the caps. That happens every session. I think taxpayers have said, enough of the whining, let's get something. But you did give them some additional flexibility beyond what the governor had proposed. Tell us about that, Craig.
Well, we did put it in the bill because we realized that every taxing district is different. When you have a city like Horace, who has tremendous growth, these restrictions might not be what the electorate or the people that live there want. So all we did was we allowed for a provision is to take it to a vote of the people. and let them decide whether they want their property tax restricted to that 3% growth, or if there are needs in services that are funded with property tax to be able to grow along with the community. Every taxing district is different, and to put a one-size-fits-all restriction on them, it does cause some difficulties, and we realize that, we've recognized it, and we're trying to give them the ability to deal with it. But ultimately, it's going to be up to the people that live in those areas.
So when you talk about a vote, in other words, the legislature would say, you need, every political subdivision needs to go to their voters and say, do you want us to live under a cap of 3%, or do you want us to be able to spend year over year whatever we decide we need to spend? Is that they'd be required to hold a vote?
Well, if they want to get around being capped, they would be required. And, I think that really gets down to the truest form of local control is having the people that are going to be living under what is proposed, be able to weigh in on it. If you're living in an area that your property taxes are high and you want this restriction, I don't think you're going to show up and vote in support of allowing them to exceed it. You're going to see what it's like. And if the services that you desire, that property taxes pay for, are adequate, I think you're going to be just fine. And it's going to work that way in every district. But if you are in an area, if you're, different taxing districts on either end of the spectrum, there are counties where they're at their general fund levy cap today, and this hard cap will actually, in times of decreasing taxable value, cause them to actually bring in less money through property taxes.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That. I think the best idea I heard from you is that one size doesn't fit all, so give them that ability to do that and go to their voters. Great stuff. Keep fighting on income tax, too. You've been a champion there. Craig Hedlund, thanks for the update. You'd expect to see the North Dakota oil and natural gas industry working at wells and processing facilities out here in Western North Dakota, right? What you might not know is that our oil and gas industry actually works to build roads and provide school funding and even protect us from flooding. And all that while creating 50,000-plus jobs statewide and generating millions of tax dollars annually to support our infrastructure, our great outdoors, and our schools. North Dakota Petroleum Foundation advancing the possibilities. You want to know a fun little story, Kev? There was a Powerball ticket sold at Don's Car Wash on 52nd Avenue South over the weekend, and it's a $150,000 winner with a Power Play ticket. So check your tickets, and guess what? I was at Don's Car Wash over the weekend, and I bought a Powerball ticket. I never buy a Powerball ticket, but I had like $3 in my pocket. I'm like,
why not?
$3 and change, throw it at that. So unfortunately, the ticket is sitting on a counter at home. So I just saw this story and I said, wow, there might be a little prize there. What are the odds? My odds have just increased greatly by the fact that, this drawing, Don's Car Wash, who knows? So I'll keep you posted. I might not be here tomorrow. I might be on my way to Tahiti.
I don't know if you can do that.
I'm going to go to Tahiti, I think is where I'm going to go. Yeah.
I saw $150,000 is the winning amount on it.
Yeah, way cool. Way, way cool. Texter says, I listen to Steve Hallstrom faithfully. Love his show when I can catch it. $180 million over 5 years seems like a drop in the bucket now, doesn't it? If Biden was claimed unable to run for president, he needed Kamala Harris in his place. What authority did he have to sign executive orders before Trump took office? I'd like to see someone held accountable for that. Also, imagine what expense it is to undo all of this damage caused by the previous administration. It's overwhelming. I just wish I could give Trump a big thank you. Yeah, I think a lot of us feel that way after 3 weeks going to work. And thanks for the love for the Steve Hallstrom Show for listeners in the Red River Valley. Steve's on 4 to 6 on AM 1100 The Flag, our flagship in Fargo-Moorhead. Wherever you're listening, out here in the Bakken, we're in Williston today. Of course, KTGO, 1090 The Flag West, and now Super Talk 1270, part of our What's On Your Mind family. And just down the road is the Dakota Hope Clinic in Minot, and they have satellites all along Highway 2 as well. Our next guest to tell us about the good work they're doing and how you can help them with Giving Hearts Day. Tim Knutson's here, the Development Director for Dakota Hope Clinic. Hey, Tim, how's it going?
Good, brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Would you just tell us about the life-changing work Dakota Hope Clinic's doing?
Absolutely. So we're your local nonprofit pregnancy health center that services all of north central, northwestern North Dakota. So we have locations in Minot, Tioga, and in Botno. And we do pregnancy tests. We have limited ultrasounds. We do parenting classes, much more. And we have been open since 2013. And since we're a nonprofit, we don't charge anything to our clients. When they come in, it's completely free, and they get to hear all the options, and they get to hear all the truth. And we tell them exactly, you know, what this is going to look like in the future for them as far as having this baby and not possibly not having the baby. And so we don't refer for abortions. We don't do anything with abortions at all. We completely encourage them to choose life, and then we're a Christian-based organization, so we're also going to offer to pray with them and hope that maybe that they can find out about that life-changing decision also.
You know what you're doing, what you just described there, is loving them both, the baby and the mother, aren't you?
Exactly.
And to give them options, give them choices, and, you know, those ultrasounds are eye-opening, especially for somebody that's not seen one before. I think that's transformed the whole pro-life movement. Who can doubt that that's a baby? Who can doubt that that's a baby moving around, sucking the thumb, looking around? You know, I mean, pretty incredible. Describe that experience, that feedback you get from these young mothers that come in and see an ultrasound for the first time at a Dakota Hope Clinic.
Yes, for sure. When they see, you know, it goes from just being like something that they talk about, like it, all of a sudden now that's my baby. I can see my baby, I can hear my baby, and you know, and then right away too, whether or not it's true, you know, the mind, you know, all of a sudden tells them, like, wow, I can see the similarities, that looks like my mom, that looks like my dad. And then if the father of the baby is around and comes in and sees that also, especially for men, you and I as men, we know we're visual creatures, and so when we see that baby right away, the men are just like all in. They're like, yes, let's have this baby. And if the woman hears that, if she's got a male influence in her life that sees that and encourages her to say, let's have this baby, then all of a sudden there's no doubt. They just click, click. And then like, yes, let's do this. We can do this. And especially when we give them hope through what we offer at Dakota Hope through many resources, because they can get baby diapers, they can get toys, clothes for up to 3 years afterwards. I mean, there's really no limit on time, but it's just we only go up to like size 5T and clothes. But we're there to help through that whole thing. Plus, they're very encouraged when they find out they can take parenting classes, and it helps them to learn, like, wow, I can really do this. I can be a great parent.
It's called loving the mother and loving the baby. And by the way, the free services they offer are because of your generosity. GivingHeartsDay.org, a great opportunity to you know, have money matches to stretch your donation and make it bigger. So go to GivingHeartsDay.org, GivingHeartsDay.org, and find Dakota Hope Clinic, Minot, Botno, Tioga. Thanks so much for sharing the story. God bless. More after this. Hey, everybody. Welcome to What's On Your Mind, another hour on the program. We're going to do a little deep dive on rural health care today and talk about some folks that are figuring it out in our Window on Watford segment coming up with Pete Edis, who handles McKinsey Health out of Watford City, North Dakota. It's a great story. You're going to love it. Pete moved here from Colorado. He was recruited into Watford City. He's done a great job. In fact, now Williston has expanded health care that's come from McKinsey Health in Watford City. And they're going on down Highway 2 and headed to Tioga and Minot and other satellite clinics that will be happening as well. So it's a great expansion story. And really, the conversation will help us understand the challenges of rural health care and what they're doing, but it's a great best practice. Our heads are spinning trying to keep track of everything happening in the Trump administration. Ran through a lot of that last hour. If there's any particular thing that you're finding that you love and you want to see more attention on or whatever, we need an army of people keeping track of what the Trump administration is doing to keep track of everything. So always welcome your calls at 701-271-1100 or text us at 701-237-1590. Megyn Kelly does a great podcast, and she pulled out some clips to show how much the regime media is pack mules, basically, and hyenas for the crazy libs. It's pretty amazing. I'm gonna play that clip here in a minute, and we got some text to get to as well on what's on your mind. We're in Williston for the first part of our day, headed to Watford a little later, so it's the Window on Williston segment. And our buddy Drew Balog from Williston Auto literally threw me the keys to his office here. That was pretty nice of you to have the friendly confines of the boss's office at this palatial, beautiful dealership here in Williston, North Dakota. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Scott. It's always exciting to have you come into town. The dealership just starts buzzing. They go, "Is that the radio guy, Drew? Is that?" I said, "It sure is." So we're just excited to have you here, and we've got a lot of our consumers out there that when they come in here and buy their new Chevy or their new GMC, they go, "Yeah, we heard you on the flag, 1090 AM." So we greatly appreciate you and Kevin, and a lot of times off the air, the conversations with you and Kevin can make my day. Like, we were talking about that Pinto the other day, and then you sent me a clip, and I just had to laugh. And for the folks that don't know what we're talking about, I had told them a story. My dad walked me out behind his bar back in Missouri when I told him I was getting married at like 18, and he pointed at a Cadillac sitting out there, and he said, "You see that Cadillac?" I go, "Yes, sir." And then he pointed at a Pinto wagon. He said, "You see that Pinto wagon?" I go, "Yes, sir." "If you get married, you'll be driving that Pinto wagon." and I ended up getting stationed in Hawaii. I had $650. They wouldn't let me. I was the low rank. They wouldn't let me ship a car over there. And so I went down to a car dealership, and I told the guy, I said, "I only got $650. Do you have something?" He goes, "Sit right here, son." He pulled around in a Pinto wagon.
All right. Yeah, let's go to the party over at the barn. Let's go.
And after I heard that story, I was racking my brain for the movie, because remember, Pintos had that little explosion issue.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there was a little issue with the Pintos. We had one at home, too, a green coupe, a Pinto, believe it or not. And the movie Top Secret, starring Val Kilmer, has a hilarious scene in it where there's this army vehicle careening out of control, and you think it's going to smash into the Pinto, and you're going, "Oh, no." And it slows to a crawl, and it barely kisses the Pinto, and the Pinto explodes.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
That's
Scott.
A great movie.
Yeah.
It was a great movie. I want to go back and watch it so bad.
Well, we don't have a lot of vehicles that, thank God, explode on impact now. And
by the way, you left a beautiful one for us at the airport this morning, a Yukon. I tell you what, you got some great 25s here, don't you?
Yes, we do. And the reason the other day they said, "Scott's going to need a vehicle," and I go, "Get him that Yukon Altima out there." That's the old
puppy dog.
That's right, the old puppy dog clothes. And so we're trying really hard down here. I'll tell you the other thing we're doing here that a lot of other dealers don't do. We've got nothing to hide. So you come in and look at that new GMC or that new Chevrolet and go, "Hey, I heard that guy on the radio. I'd like to take a look at the invoice." We're going to provide that for you. And it's worked really well for us, Scott. We sold 5 new on Monday, and then I think we did 3 new yesterday, and we just had a couple come in today and pick up a new Yukon. So, folks, we might just be the cheapest date in town.
And you're able to do that because I was joking earlier about your palatial dealership here, but you're kind of in cramped quarters. This building's been around a few years, but you pass on all the savings to the customers, you always say, right?
We do. You know, it's been a challenge with everything going on. You know, Mr. Billion was planning on building a new dealership just north of town, across from the old Black Magic Harley-Davidson dealership. But that's been held up for a different reason. So we hope to get back on track this year. And hopefully by 26, we'll have a little bit nicer facility for everybody to enjoy.
But you always tell me you might not have the latte machine, but you can sell the vehicles a little cheaper.
That's right. We got the day-old donuts in the lounge and the Folgers coffee, you know. So so we're passing that savings on to the folks out there.
Well, you're a good man, and there's darn few of us left. So thanks for your hospitality today. Always appreciate being at Williston Auto.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet, buddy.
Those two are long. I think different mothers, same milk. Kevin and Drew. I'm pretty sure those two are like kindred spirits there. By golly, 13 past the hour. Listen to Megyn Kelly. She nails it. What's going on right now? This and again, what's beautiful about this is Donald Trump has brought a whole new level of sunshine to how Washington works. Washington's hair is on fire. They're flipping out right now, and everything else. All around Washington, D.C., that sea of insanity that little dot, you know, represents. Everywhere else, we're going, thank you. This is common sense. This is great. But what's being exposed is things like the alliance between the regime media that are the, you know, the voices of these people who hate Donald Trump, who don't want what 312 electoral votes bought and a popular vote win. They don't want any of that, and here's how they work together. Tell us, Megyn.
Oh, this is unbelievable. It's repeating now.
Yeah.
It's so great.
Oh, my gosh.
I'd like to know, where do they meet? Like, where do they get together? Do you think they exchange texts? Okay, today, constitutional crisis.
What is a constitutional crisis? Let me ask that first.
Well, I think their argument would be, you can't do this without Congress. You're taking over the power. You're being a king. You're being,
no,
which is
you
ridiculous.
Can. He can, and he is, and it's fine. Nothing's illegal. I mean, Mark Levin would tell you if there was anything illegal about it, I promise.
Exactly right. All right, couple of texts coming in. Hey, love the interviews on those great charities, but maybe you should interview a common taxpayer. We're paying for the charity the government is offering up, free daycare, free public school, free lunches. The biggest charity provider in this country is the taxpayer. That's wise. That's wise. I love it. There's others here sharing their thoughts. Say, Scott, I've been listening to 1100 AM for 14 plus years. I get radio shy. This has been a blessing to our area. To get insight on real topics, I've listened for years to you, to Rush, to Mark Levin. It's like getting a look on the inside to those of us on the outside fighting to stay ahead. Thank you for your great work all these years. Appreciate it very much. How's that for a 14-year listener? If I started doing the math on how long I've been doing talk radio, you would know that I'm pretty old because it actually started in 1986 in Grand Forks and then to Fargo and now, of course, statewide. With great affiliates like Super Talk 1270 and our Flag Family Network and spending time in every corner of the state. It's just a labor of love. I absolutely love it and love hearing from longtime listeners. So thank you so much. We appreciate that very much. All right. When we come back, a little focus on rural health care. This is a great story that's coming out of Watford City. Pete Edis, the president and CEO of McKinsey Health, will join us to talk about the challenges and the opportunities of rural health care, something we take for granted in the big cities. Brought to you today by our friends at Cirrusset. If you need a reset, there is a wellness company with some revolutionary technology that can help you do that. I've been talking a lot because we're in the sort of darker days of winter, but seasonal affect disorder. And just this time of year, some people just get a little down. They're just off their game a little bit. And maybe if you're not sleeping well or just a little depressed or whatever and not getting help anywhere else, I encourage you to talk with the folks at Cirrusset.com and find out more. Just set up a free no-obligation call and find out how they can help you and how they've helped so many. Cirrusset, C-E-Reset.com to find out more. I am looking forward to a conversation with our next guest to talk a little bit about the challenges and opportunities that come from rural health care. I think this is something that those of us in the larger cities within the sound of my voice, we need a little something bothering us. We make an appointment, we go to the doctor, need a specialist, we see a specialist or whatever. It's not that easy in rural parts of North Dakota. And Pete Edis is the president and CEO of McKinsey Health to help share a little bit of this story. Pete, how are you? You know, if you talk to any healthcare provider anywhere right now, finding people is very tough, and the recruiting that has to be done. You're in a rural part of North Dakota. How have you staffed this up?
It is, and it is a challenge to staff. Housing, as we talked with Mayor Riley, just
We are powered by Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy on What's on Your Mind. Every Wednesday, we give you a hot deal. Listen to this one. It's a 2021 Chevy Colorado. Those things are in demand. Great product, the Chevy Colorado. And this cherry red, got black cloth, leather-lined interior. It's a Z71 package, means it's a little sporty look to it. Black grille, heated seats, heated steering wheel, navigation, forward collision alert, and a lot more. There's only 40,000 miles on this, and it's a 2021 Chevy Colorado. Priced right now at $31,000. This won't last long, and they'll give you a great deal if you tell them Scott sent you to Pucklich, North Dakota's home for Chevy, Bismarck, and Valley City. PucklichValleyCity.com is where this one is at if you want to check it online or stop and see him on Main Avenue in Valley City. 27 before the top of the hour. More of our conversation now with Pete Edis, President and CEO of McKenzie Health. You were saying before the break, rural health care can't exist without community support. You talked about all the support you're getting. Let's talk a little bit about some of that corporate support that you get, especially here in the Bakken. Do you think about these things, folks? Do you, when you make a doctor's appointment, there's so many moving parts. There's so many challenges to this. It's fascinating. And more of our conversation with Pete Edis. Wrap this up on the other side of the break, coming up on the program. So stay tuned for that. A couple of your comments about this as well. Welcome, 701-237-1590. You can also call us always at 701-271-1100, 701-271-1100. Brought to you today by our friends at PetroServe USA, where the home cooking is on. It is a Swedish meatball kind of day, I'm telling you. How cold is it? So cold, I'm going to have Swedish meatballs today for lunch. That's right. And you'll find those at the Harwood PetroServe USA, West Main Avenue, Fargo, or 12th and I-29. With the mashed potatoes and the gravy and all the goodies, meatloaf in Valley City, there you go, off exit 292, I-94. Cheesy beef potatoes, also West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Salisbury Steak, MP Avenue, downtown Fargo, in the 45th location. Mac and Beef in Castleton, Taco Mac in Wappanen, Tater Tot and Hot Dish. It's a hot dish kind of day in Glendon today. PetroServe USA, Bismarck Mandan of the West. And stop and see them all along I-94, Valley City, Castleton, West Fargo, Fargo, Moorhead. Live from Williston today with our Window on Watford segment, wrapping up our conversation with Pete Edis, CEO of McKenzie Health, talking rural health care. You have some best practices here that many small towns are dealing with and have gone through these tough times when it comes to serving their communities. Talk about how you've taken the culture and the conversations here to where your efforts are today, this story. That's a great North Dakota success story. Hope you enjoyed it and really get a little insight into the challenges of providing rural health care. Hey, before we let you go, Tulsi Gabbard is the new Director of National Intelligence, approved today by the U.S. Senate. Only Uncle Mitch McConnell voted no, Kev. Uncle Mitch, thumbs down.
Are you sure he voted, or did one of his aides just tell him or just hold his hand up?
No, not sure what happened there. And I saved the biggest story for the last today. If you're in and around Fargo, the Sons of Norway on Sunday is having a lutefisk dinner, lutefisk and meatball, Sunday, 10 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. I promised Carol Juven, the legendary Carol Juven, I'd let you know about that. God bless you, folks. See you from Giving Hearts Day tomorrow.